Gather round, travelers. It's time for another episode of Venture Maidens. First off, we want to say a huge thank you to our Patreon donors who have kept us going through these tumultuous times. Your support means the world to us, and we could not be doing what we're doing without you. As I record this, we are about to get back the final print proof for the Venture Zine, which I am just over the moon to send off to you stellar donors. I also want to give a huge thank you to Venturer Superstar Katie Truex, aka Life is Bard in our Discord, who recorded our beautiful new cello mid-roll bumpers. You are a talented, radiant gem, Katie, and I know all of you are going to love it. All right, kids, I'm going to give you a quick recap of what happened last time, then play you an ad from another great DSPN show, and we'll get this party started. Ahem. Last time on Venture Maidens. Our heroes were spit back into the material plane, then immediately written up for trespassing by a construct named Bebop. They agreed to head back with him to his office located at the center of a strange bazaar, carried around the desert by a gargantuan earth elemental. After filling out their permits, the maidens wandered around the market, met a fabulous beholder bartender named Prudence, bought some jewelry, and just when things were getting fun, the whole bazaar shook as a powerful voice called out to Saye. And that's what happened! All right, now here's the show.
Hey there, listeners, it's Ishan.
And Shane from the Total Party Thrill Podcast.
Oh, another actual play show.
Nope, because no one wants to hear the two of us in character.
Well, which means it must be one of those interview shows.
Not at all. We talk about topics that help listeners create and play better RPGs.
Oh, right. It's a podcast for game masters and players where we discuss our campaigns in order to inspire yours.
Dude, that's literally been our tagline for 3 years.
I mean, it doesn't exactly roll off the tongue. How about Total Party Thrill? Get better game.
All right, look, the tagline doesn't matter as long as the content is good. Like episode 168 on mind control. Wait, Ishan, did you just force me to say it like that?
No, you're thinking of the episode on gaslighting.
Oh.
We also recap our Eberron and Warhammer 40k home games and review new RPGs and books.
And every episode, we build a 5th edition D&D character in the Character Creation Forge.
I'm partial to the sexy beast, a high charisma druid who's still the party face, even in animal form.
Alright, I'm sold. Where can I find Total Party Thrill?
Well, right here on DSPN, or on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Or check us out at www.totalpartythrill.com.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our maidens explore the moving bazaar and have a chat with its progenitor. Why does the elemental roam across the desert? What does it want of our heroes? Can our team find safety among the bazaar's monstrous denizens? Find out in episode 82, Mother Earth.
And we are now live. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome.
Coconuts.
It's another episode of Coconuts. It's another episode of Venture Maidens. Yay! It's very exciting. I feel like it's going to be a fun, weird night, and I'm so happy you all are here with me tonight to enjoy this experience. But hi, everybody. Welcome. It's another episode of Venture Maidens. I'm going to be your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
I got something stuck in my teeth. I'm sorry. I'm Arnadella Thill, played by Brittany Quintero, your moon elf warlock, with some Zaw stuck in her. I have a tiny gap in my front teeth.
Zaw, bruh.
Zaw.
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm going to be playing Farrah Valen, the tiefling sorceress.
I'm Nassim. I'm your human monk, Saya Noor.
We're so ready. I'm Sage. I'm your blingin' barbarian, Cara Brynhilda.
Whoa, blingin', especially after last game. I get
oh,
it.
Yeah.
Wow, Nassim and Brittany, I'm so jealous that you all are in the same place.
I know.
Aww.
We miss you guys. Honestly, I know everyone misses their friends right now. It's hard. We're very lucky that we can visit each other, and yeah. We wish we were all together.
One day the maidens will have to celebrate like our 3-year anniversary.
It's coming up.
Wait, wouldn't it be our 4-year?
Four.
It's our 4-year.
Our 4-year anniversary. So whenever, you know, the world stops being cuckoo bananas, we definitely have to get together and play some D&D in real life. But that's that. That's the world. Status update. So that is where we are picking back up after our Sex and the City-esque escapades through the bazaar, through this interdimensional bazaar that is like being pulled around the Kronos Desert by a gigantic earth elemental who seems okay with it. You all had just emerged from this jewelry shop after securing this beautiful piece, and the streets themselves had begun to rumble beneath your feet. You had seen people in the streets, like, gripping at their stalls and looking towards the sky, trying to figure out what's happening as this giant disc that's being pulled behind the earth elemental just starts to shudder. And you had heard this massive, creaking, low voice bellowing from the direction of the earth elemental. And Saye, somehow you had known almost that it was speaking towards you or to you specifically. You're not really sure how you knew, but this voice had echoed out and given you the sense that it wanted to speak with you. And that's where we're starting. So in the streets, yeah, everybody all around you is kind of freaking out and like screaming and, you know, like clutching their vases that have been lovingly set up on all these table stalls and like just making sure everybody's okay. And the rumbling suddenly stops. And all of these people in the streets are looking at each other, just completely baffled by what just happened.
What the fuck is that?
Are you just saying that to the universe? I think a lot of people are going, what the fuck was
just
that?
Clutching like, your staff, yeah. Like, what?
Yeah. And everybody, you know, in the streets, they start, like, whispering toward one another and, like, just looking up and around and...
Well, is that the rock?
Yeah. I think it's trying to tell me something. I don't really know. I couldn't really understand it. Let's step out of the crowd for a second, and I want to try to find, like, I don't know, an alley or something a little more spacious, an open area to try and, like, silence my head a little bit and reach out to it.
Yeah, this whole town is very compact, and the streets are very narrow, and you do, like, duck into, like, an alley behind some of these stacked buildings, but you see that there are, like, a bunch of people lurking in this alley. Basically, wherever you turn, like, there's not enough space for anyone here, so you're gonna be hard-pressed to find a quiet spot from where you are.
Maybe we should use a message spell or something so that if that's what it sounds like when it says, hey, sup, we're not shaking the entire town for a whole conversation.
Yeah, it's...
Well, I mean...
It's...
Oh, yeah.
It's speaking, you said, Terran, and I have language of...
You should speak Terran. I speak...
Tongue of Sun and Moon, so I can understand all spoken languages, and any creature that can understand a language can understand what I say. You have that, too?
I have telepathy.
Okay.
So as long as we... Also, primordial. Do you speak primordial, too?
So if you speak primordial, you speak all four of the dialects.
Great.
Which is Terran, Ignan, Arin, and...
Aquin.
Aquin. Yeah. Oh, the one we just did.
I'm not really worried about the understanding so much as how much damage these replies from this big guy or girl or person is gonna do to this city long term.
You have a telepathy also?
No.
Hopefully they're not very verbose.
I was gonna say we could, like, join hands and, like, mutually communicate.
That would be... I can just speak in primordial and you can understand.
I speak primordial. Well, I could use telepathy to speak to it.
Yeah.
I just don't want him to reply out loud.
That's what I was saying, like, the whole telepathy thing. Like, they can respond with the feat that I took.
Okay.
Okay, go for it.
All right.
So I'm going to just, like, look and we have this conversation in the street, right?
Yeah, I mean, you all are standing right there outside of the jewelry shop. You know, Kara still has the nicely wrapped box.
So I'm going to put my hands, I'm just going to unprompted put my hands in the ground and just, like, kind of look up at Sai and be like, what do you want me to say?
We hear you. What is it you're trying to tell us? I don't know. We're here to help.
And then I add, I'm using telepathy, so let's just do this so nobody dies from the earthquakes of your magnificent voice.
Sure. Let's see. So I think you get like a big pause back. Like somebody, like you sense that something heard you, right? But there's like a thoughtful creak that like moves through your mind, like the crust of the earth slowly moving as it makes a decision.
Left on red by an earth elemental.
Who would have thought?
You know, like when somebody is like trying to figure out what they're saying and you just see the dots, like the ellipsis.
Yeah.
And it never, and a message like, never sends, and you're just like, I see that you're writing. Like, yeah. What were you going to say?
And I think in response, there's like another vibration that starts like through the streets, and it's not as intense as the last one. It's sort of a and like everybody's like, oh my God, and like clutches their stuff. And then the noise sort of stops as whatever the response is cut off. And then you get a sense, I think you see in pictures rather than like hear in words. And you see this kind of image of like a chamber. And it appears to be maybe underground, but it looks like sort of the inside of a geode, with all of these, ooh, like purpley amethyst crystals like forming the ceiling, and you see a tunnel, and that's kind of the image it gives to you.
What are you trying to show us?
Arnadel looks at us like, I think telepathy might be weird when it comes to like, you know, elemental conversation. I think it's giving it, you know, pictures are worth 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. And I think that
a lot of interpretation can be had.
Well, thank God I'm a visual learner. So Arnadel shares like the depiction, and I think this earth elemental made it very clear that that's exactly what it wanted to communicate. So I'm like, I think we have to figure out how to get there. And that'll probably be the extent of the conversation that we have with. Just a guess.
Well, what if we go approach it, and then maybe it won't have to be as loud to talk to us?
I just hope that wasn't its whisper.
I think that also my brain kind of hurts at the idea. Like, I'm glad it said that in a picture, because I think its mental voice would probably break my brain. We're talking to a mountain. I don't know if I think if it uses its vocal cords, if that's what it has, it'll probably continue to disrupt. I don't know if we'll be able to do a lot of talking with it.
Well, I mean, if it was trying to talk to us earlier, I mean, these people knowingly hitched their town to an earth elemental. It kind of goes with the territory.
Yeah, earthquakes fucking happen.
Why would they talk to the thing?
Not everyone talk to an elemental.
I mean, they just hitch a ride. It goes where they're cool with where it goes. There's like no communication, but we did reach out to it. Kind of, did we?
Seem to be pretty used to that thing talking to them at all. So I don't think this is normal.
Well, I mean, either way, we're stopped at the Oasis. It's going to keep going when it wants to go. So we might as well go over there and try to talk to it.
I think, are we moving right? Already?
I think we got to figure out how to get to this geode. And what can I recall of the memory? Like, was there any specific, like the image that got blasted into my head? Was there, there's the inside of a geode, which is beautiful, and I'm very excited about that. But like, was there any defining factor other than the tunnel that might give a clue as to?
Why don't you make me an intelligence-based perception check?
Okay.
Guidance.
And in the meantime, I'm going to look at Kara and be like, what's up, Rock Queen? any chance you might have some rock knowledge on where a geode might live inside of an earth elemental? That, like, is that like the spleen or the...
You can add 3 to your roll too.
Definitely don't have that knowledge.
Yes.
Is it good or is it bad?
I don't know what it is.
It's a 1.
That's a 1. Okay. Yeah, you're like, I think the image was so like not what you were expecting that you weren't really able to commit it very well to memory. So it's just kind of a flash that went through your head.
Cool. Saya is going to reach out in primordial and just kind of ask, because I'm sure you shared with us the geode image.
Yeah, of course I did.
what, why are you showing this to us? What do you want us to find?
And you're saying that out loud, right?
Yes. I'll telepathically, but I still have my hands in the ground. And
I'm saying it out loud.
Okay, well.
You can communicate it, you know, telepathically as well. But I'm not concerned with the earthquake. I don't think it would be strong enough to do real damage.
Yeah, and I think there's another long pause that comes.
He's typing.
Yeah, very slow.
Those big giant rocky fingers.
And then I think Arnadel, you get another flash in your head. It looks like the side of a mountain, made of kind of the same rock of the elemental itself. And you see like these spiny crystals, that almost look like, God, what's that word? It's like the crest you might see on like some kind of reptiles.
Spines.
Yeah. Spines. Yeah. And you just see these kind of spines, and on this hillside is like a cave entrance.
What color are they?
The spines are kind of a purplish mottled color. They're really dusty, though.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what geodes look like on the outside. I'm like, I bet we gotta climb this thing. I share the image with everybody. I'm like, okay, this is the next... It's communicating with me in images. I really think that it's not gonna talk. I'm gonna try to continue. I think that's the best that we can get for now is... It's telling us where to go if we want more information.
Well, what's the plan to get from this disc thing over onto a mountain? I'm not really a hiker.
Could it take us there?
Have to be.
I bet they have some kind of... You know who we should talk to? We should talk to Bebop.
You should talk to the Earth Elemental to ask it if it'll take us there.
Because I think if we talk to Bebop, he's going to be like, either that's not allowed or you need 18 permits to do that.
Yeah.
you need to sign like 15 more pieces of paper if you're going to start climbing all over.
Do you think Bebop is too stressed out and he stresses me out?
Let's just send him a lavender candle.
Could I make either history or maybe nature to see if I know... Having lived under mountains, if that particular mountain rings any bells.
Sure.
Because it sounds like a fancy mountain.
Yeah. Roll a stone cutting, I guess?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh, hell yeah. That was a 19 plus some shit.
Okay.
Six. So, 25.
All right. So, based on that description, that doesn't seem like any regular kind of stone that you know about. In fact, you think that was probably the back of the elemental.
Oh, I relay this.
Yeah, so you think probably the cave entrance is somewhere on the elemental.
I think it's like a pore.
Yeah, so like this crystal geode or something is probably inside of it.
Like a hair follicle.
If anything, I think our first move should just be to get closer, as close as possible to the edge of this disc and see what paths could lead us to the mountain.
We know it's being pulled by chains or ropes.
Yeah,
but... Celeste mentioned it, and I was like, holy shit, Arnadel's going to want to know what kind of fucking chains or rope is being used for this situation, because that sounds really interesting.
So if we get close enough, we'll get a better look at the size of those things, and if they're big enough, we could just fucking
I mean, I think we could just, across. We can see where the fucking thing is. It's a fucking mountain, so we'll just walk that direction, and then when we get to the edge of town, we'll see
if
there's some fucking... Yeah.
That's the plan. That's what I suggest.
Let's go!
Onward!
Yeah, and so with that, you know, you can easily start winding your way through... Well, not so easily. Wind your way through these, like, jam-packed streets. And now that, like, the tremors have definitely stopped, immediately sales resume as people are just hawking all kinds of wares at you. People are, like, throwing beautiful things in your face, you know, shouting at you, like, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Like, you need this! You need this! And all, again, those, like, illusion signs are spinning everywhere, and it's just bright, colorful... everybody's trying to sell you something as you push your way through this crowd, making it to the very edge of the disc. And as you get, like, closer to the edge, things kind of quiet down. You think maybe it's more residential buildings as opposed to, like, the big market throngs. So you finally have a little bit of space to breathe as you walk between these buildings. And you come to the end of this large disc, and, you know, the elemental looms so far, towers above the city, that you can see it wherever you are on the disc of the bazaar. So you make your way there, and then you come to the edge, and, like, punched through the edge of this disc are these incredibly thick chains that seem to be made of, like, a burnished orange kind of metal. And each of these links is easily the size of, like a full ship. They're huge. And these links are interspersed with these other links that seem to be made just of golden light, an energy very similar to the sail that you saw Bebop using when he was flying across the desert on his little surfboard. So yeah, and these chains just stretch on, like, for probably about a mile up, and they attach to these, like, hooks that have just been, like, sunk into the earth elemental's, like, side. I mean, you can't really see his feet. You just see, like, the top, this, like, large kind of mountainous back and the ridges that form this. So you're assuming his feet are below the ground, but he kind of, like, sails through. It almost looks like a shark moving through the sand. So these hooks are just, like, embedded into the rock.
Poor baby.
Of his skin.
I'm assuming these are very magical.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. They're incredibly magical.
Are the chains, like, taut, or are they, like, shaken all over the place?
So right now, there's some slack. So you think probably at full length, like, the earth elemental is maybe, yeah, like, a full mile away from where you are.
Ooh. So he's not moving.
He's not moving right now. He's just sat there like a mountain.
It's taking a break.
So the chains are, yeah, kind of loose and slack right now.
All right, people, we can make it across that if we run straight. Under 10 minutes, we've all been working out, right?
10 minute mile.
Sage,
that's not even that fast.
I've been paying for a gym membership that I haven't used for 8 years.
Damn.
Wait, is this Farah or Katie talking?
No, mine's only a year.
Okay.
We also have, like, 30 pounds plus of gear on our backs.
We each have, like, 100.
I mean, with a bag of holding, though.
Yeah, it's
at 50. Just stick out straws in the bag of holding, and I'll just go right in there. I'm skinny. I'll fit. Just
you better hold your breath, girl.
Maybe a 13-minute mile.
Okay.
What happened with that rope of yours?
That'd be way slower.
Escalator rope?
If we use the rope.
It would take a very long time.
Yeah, it would be so much slower.
It would take like 3 hours.
I could dimension door.
I could dimension door too.
You could
never split the party though.
Well, we just take one each.
Oh, can I take someone with me with the cloak? Ooh.
Yeah, I can
take one person with you.
I mean, just double check.
Well, then shit, yeah, let's do that.
Dimension door, that gets us 500 feet. Where is that?
It'll still have quite a bit to go.
That's like a tenth of a mile.
Well, cool. I mean, when I think about something that's, like, pinned high up and then a disc that's low, there's going to be a point where, like, yeah, we can run across, but then it's going to go
that'll
up.
That'll get
really
us, like,
fast.
A you're third to, of the way. Yeah.
You're going to have
We're
to
gonna,
climb at
some,
point.
So maybe we save that for once we have to go
Wait,
up instead of
go
across.
Up. All right, touche. So let's get, like, two-thirds of the way and then to dimension door the last bit.
Sounds good. I'm going to need that at the end.
Yeah, let's just get moving, and then as soon as we start to feel movement, teleport as far as we can go.
Yeah.
Bebop Jax is going to, like, write us up in 5 seconds. Let's just go.
Yeah. Don't loiter.
Definitely against regulation.
They don't have to know. I mean, technically it's outside of city jurisdiction, right?
The Oasis was apparently in their jurisdiction, so.
The Oasis was just a part of the desert.
That's not what Bebop said.
I think Bebop bends the rules a little bit.
He is the law. Bebop Jax is the law.
Really, he doesn't have any upper management. He's just the guy who likes order.
Literally, it's just him. So, Anyway, so yeah, you can easily climb down from the disc onto these chains. And, you know, you do an odd sort of climbing, running across them. I mean, these chains are so large. It's sort of like crossing a bridge every time you go through. And you do have to, like, hop a little bit to make it to the next one. Where these ones that are made of light, they're semi-solid. But it's kind of just an odd feeling. Like, if you step on it and stay for too long, your foot sort of starts to sink into it. So, but if you move quickly, it's fine as you make your way across these chains. And you do. Huh? Yes.
I'll start for Brittany, Patrick.
I got a finger.
He's a full size dragon for like 10 minutes, right?
One minute per charge, yeah.
Oh, 1 minute. I mean, that's how many seconds. Like, he flies at 60 feet. A second or a round, right?
Yeah. Just depending on how many charges you used last time. But because I don't think you haven't had a sleepy yet.
In the land of water.
Oh, yeah, you did. In the land of water. Okay, you did have a sleepy underwater.
The land of water, nice. LOL.
It was great. Best water bed I've ever had.
That's a juxtaposition or a contradiction.
So you can definitely make it up to the point where now you see that there's like just a sheer cliff face, basically, of these chains that lead up onto the back of this mountain in front of you. So what are we doing?
We Alistar Fitzpatrick up like 2/3 of the way, and then we're going to Dimension Door the rest of the way, right?
Alistar could hold probably 2 of you, since he's large. Large is the size of a horse.
Oh.
So I could fly and carry Kara?
Oh, could you carry it hundreds of pounds?
Kara's like problem solving. Pounds.
I am. Farrah's just tall. she's skin and bones.
Okay, whoever is lighter,
just make it an athletics check to try and climb this.
Kara's just gonna start running after all this debate, and is just like, "Fuck it." I hate cardio.
All right, go ahead and make some athletics tricks then if you're climbing up this
cardio.
Big boy.
I think while we're doing that, Arnold's like, oh, okay, 15. She's going to go to
22.
Okay.
Pharisees, natural 20.
Everybody just running up this shit, and she's like, ah, fucking hell. She's
gonna... I cast guidance on you, Farrah.
Oh, team guidance.
Okay. 11 plus 4. It's 15.
Plus 3.
That's it.
Oh, okay. So 11 plus 3, 14 plus, what's my athletics? 15.
Cool. Yeah. So you all begin to climb your way up the chains. Luckily, there are a lot of handholds, so it's not too hard, but, you know, it is a hot day in the desert. And the minute you stepped off of the disc, all of a sudden you started to feel this oppressive heat once again. You're not sure if, like, the city, the bazaar had some kind of cooling effect or something, but, like, it's just coming in full force now. So you all make it about 1/3 of the way up at this point, and I need you to go ahead and make me some more athletics checks.
Since I know that Arnadel wilts in the sun like a flower, Kara will cast guidance on Arnadel next.
I got a 7.
12.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I started off real strong, and then Kara saw Arnadel, like, start to get winded, like, almost immediately. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
16.
Okay. So both Farrah and Arnadel, you get this far up, and you're hanging on to the chain, but you're like, I can't. Like, I can't go on. This is so hard.
Come back for the nerve.
My hands are burning.
Yeah. I will let you go ahead and climb up another set if you would like, but you will take a point of exhaustion if you do so.
How far are we along this chain?
1/3 of the way up.
Would you say that's like 500 feet away from the top?
Yeah. You could do, Dimension Door could get you to the top.
I have lesser restoration, so if you're feeling a little tired, I can help you out with that.
I don't feel tired. Just don't look as we use magic to get us through this. Arnadel, help us.
Just don't look.
Wait, Dimension Door will get us to the top?
Yeah. Okay. Why not?
Oh, well, okay. Then I'm like, fuck this. And I, hold like, me. Grab whoever's next to me and fucking bamf myself up there.
Okay.
You can grab Farrah, because both of you are just, like, like sweating, nasty, a third of the way up the chain, while Saya and Kara have, like, already gone way the fuck up above you. They're
bye,
fine.
Bye, athletes!
Must be nice.
Failed gym!
Up the way, all the way up to the top, and then Saya and Kara, give me your final athletics.
I will give Saya guidance.
Thank you.
So, plus four. We got this!
Plus four, 25.
That's nasty.
Oh, that's 21 again.
Okay, yeah, Kara and Saya are fine. You're like, you know, it was a pretty good climb, but, you know, you've climbed worse.
We're still probably huffing and puffing by the time you guys get up there. Just, like, miserable.
So at the very top of these chains, so you're standing like right where the hook attaches into this creature here. And the land you're standing on is by no means flat in of itself. It's very hilly and like ridged, like you're on the back of a large creature. And you do see now that you're up here, there are all of these little purple crystals and spikes and ridges all over the back of this creature. It looks a lot like your vision.
Okay, cool. I'm like, oh, we're on the right, all epic, like, we're on the right track.
Yes! Yeah, and it's still one of those things where, like, you kind of have to walk with, like, your hands and your feet at some points as you're climbing because it is just so uneven and weird. So why don't y'all go ahead and make me a group survival check to see how fast you can find this, this cave.
I'm guidancing myself. Okay, okay.
I got a 14.
19.
19 for me as well.
Okay.
18.
All right, sweet. So that is three successes. So as you all are kind of like, sort of like fan out and like look around to see where the entrance to this like cave might be, about 60 feet up from where you were before, one of you spots it just in the side. It's just like a... It's like where two plates of rock kind of meet at each other and form this like crevice that leads, it's completely dark and seems to lead deeper into the earth elemental.
Whew. Is this flat? Yeah.
No, none of it's flat. It's all just weird. But when you do manage to like climb inside this tunnel, it's weirdly like smooth inside here. So it's not as like rocky and weird as before. So yeah, this is some kind of like pore or like just smooth hole in this creature. And it is completely dark in here. But the heat of the sun is off of you as you head back into this tunnel here. And as you continue onward, the tunnel goes for like 30 feet, 60 feet. It's getting pretty long as you're making your way here. And then eventually you begin to see this like faint lavender glow from up ahead of you as the ceiling starts to change from this smooth, like well-worn surface to these little rocky crystals, just like you saw before. And in a matter of moments, you are standing inside that cave that you saw in your vision there. And the cave is much bigger in real life than it felt in this vision here. So it's like this perfectly spherical cavern that stands maybe, you know, 50 feet tall by 50 feet wide and just completely covered in these gemstones with this faintly glowing light.
Well, this is it. It's bigger than what I thought it was, but pretty dope, right?
Kara's eyes are like saucers as she's looking at everything. It's just like, oh, it like wants to touch all the things.
I want to do a quick detect magic. Just, you know.
Sure. As you're looking at it, everywhere in this creature has this sort of ambient life force that you've seen before with elementals. So nothing in here is a magic spell. This is just the inside of a magic creature.
Cool.
And a very magical one at that, just based on its size and age, you're like, wow, this must be one of the oldest earth elementals, like, on this plane.
That's cool.
Quite honestly.
Wow. Yeah, Saya is, like, kind of in awe for a while. Well, as soon as she steps foot onto its surface and as she descends into it, seeing all these crystals, just amazed at its awesomeness and feels
I don't know, a sense of gratitude for being invited here.
Wow.
And is like, wow, thank you. Thank you for letting us board you. And this is, I totally understand why my father was interested in making this his focus of study. It's beautiful.
I want to look at Kara and be like, have you ever seen anything like this before in the mountains?
I mean, like, this is sort of like some storybook shit. You know, there's stories that, you know, people, elders tell kids to, you know, not go down any random holes in the ground, but I've definitely never seen this in person.
I mean, these crystals it's incredible. Like, it's taking all ounces of respect to not, like, take samples of this and, like, study it later. I'm just going to be like, Car, can you remember this? I'm going to have many questions, like, later. I need to document this. This is dope.
I'm getting serious images of the core. I don't know if any of you have seen that movie. Yeah, where they enter that pocket of the earth and it's all gigantic amethyst crystals. That's what I'm seeing.
Or like that cave in Mexico with the gypsum crystals that are like skyscraper size.
Fuck.
That's a real place.
Yeah, and as you all are kind of taking in this crystal cavern that stretches before you, you begin to hear like small like shattering or like cracking sounds. As you see one of these swaths of crystals, the crystals start to like crack and begin to float upwards, like forming all of these shards that sort of swirl together in this small tornado shape.
Like Atlantis?
I don't know. until all these crystal shards kind of form the rough shape of like a humanoid figure. So like the torso and head of a humanoid with these arms, and it's holding these two longer shards of crystals, almost like drumsticks, and it begins to tap on some of the crystals around it, and it's letting out these beautiful, like, resonant notes.
Ooh, I know. I'm like,
that's cool.
My imagination is on fire.
Yeah. And as it's going ahead and it's doing so, Saye and Arnadel, I think after a while you start to recognize that these sounds sound an awful like words, like Terran words.
Mm. Wow.
That it's communicating.
Well, let's tune the fuck in. I look at you and I'm like, I frantically like gesture like, guys, it's singing. Like, shh, 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 shh.
And basically what it's saying to you, I'm sorry this had to be so hard. I'm not used to speaking with ones like you.
You understood that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess we should just say out loud, like, in primordial, no, this is new for us too, and it's an honor, and thank you for accommodating us.
It is a rare pleasure to find one who knows my kind so well.
It's rare to find your kind at all.
Also, this one over here, I'm pointing at Kara, is one it, you know, knows your kind very, very well.
A child of the stone.
Yes.
When Kara sees Arnadel, she has no idea what's being said, but when Kara sees Arnadel point at Kara, she's like, whoa, are you a Titan?
And I guess, like, I'll just say it too. I'm like, yeah.
I do not know that word, but I have been here since the beginning. I'm waiting for someone.
I'll take the moment. I'll be the active translator, and you'd be the main communicator. How about that?
Okay, you mean translating to the rest of the maidens?
Yeah, you communicate specifically, and I will take the role of letting whatever this creature says to the rest of the maidens.
Okay.
And then if anybody else has questions, that'll be my role.
Okay. Who are you waiting for?
A friend. But I'm killing time here in this desert until they arrive.
I hope you find them soon. What can we...
Who's their friend?
Who's your friend?
They will come when this world is ready to end. And we will return.
Okay.
I don't gain any meaning from that at all. I just kind of...
They might be talking about Rem.
I don't know about that.
Because Rem grabbed that suit of armor from the depths of a mountain.
Doesn't mean she knows elementals.
I think it... I mean...
Personally. And they're buds.
Arnadel's like, Sai is like saying this, and Arnadel's just like, her alarms are going off in her head. She's just like, So, I don't, Karth, like, how do you.
If that's your concern, just out of curiosity, this friend, do they go by the name Ren?
I do not know if that is a name they have given themselves.
Are they a child of Nerul?
Daughter of Nerul.
Or perhaps the daughter of Nerul.
A child of the gods, yes. But I saw you here and thought perhaps I could help. I know some of your kind, small one. They have been kind to my people in the past, working with us rather than enslaving us. And I thought, well, I have some free time, if perhaps I could help.
Thank you. Yes, it's always been an honor to work together with your kind. And we're always so grateful for the power that you lend us. If you're willing to offer us your help, we would gratefully accept it.
What is it that you need? What can this rock do for you?
Where is it we're trying to go?
We are needing to get
the veil.
Arnadel gives you the exact geographical coordinates of our destination that she wrote down from a map.
Do you know another titan by the name of Minitios?
I am not familiar with that name, though names mean so little to the earth. It is my home, after all. You're the ones who like to name it.
I wish we had a different description, because maybe that would help, but we just have a name.
Yeah, Master Artificer and Wizard Lady.
I have been in this desert for a very long time.
I imagine Earth is the oldest of all the elements, so I don't think names even hold any weight in their memory anymore.
Try telling that to fire. They get very upset.
You guys are like kind of like cousins, though.
Well,
I can take you to the teeth, certainly. I could get you there in less than a day.
That would be hugely helpful.
Though if I traveled that quickly, I might destroy those who follow me around.
Oh, well, we don't wish to harm the people you have who happen to be passengers. So, as fast as you could without bringing great destruction.
What if they got left in the oasis and then they, like, picked it up later? I mean, you could just, like, unchain... I'm very curious, respectfully. Please don't answer if you don't want to. What is the relationship with you and the disc that you carry with you?
I was resting in my travels, and suddenly they came and stuck this contraption on my back. I didn't know what they wanted, so I waited, and they traveled with me for some days. And they persisted, and their settlement got bigger, and I grew rather fond of them.
Okay. That's a great...
They are quite persistent.
But you don't mind, like, they're not, like, a nuisance.
It is no trouble to me. I have nothing but time.
All right.
I'm very happy to hear that. I'm glad it's a symbiotic relationship of some sort.
Or just non-negative.
Just non-negative, yeah.
I don't know what the...
It makes no difference to me whether they are there or not. Sometimes I forget.
Oh, fair enough. Well, thanks for not, you know, you... We don't want to kill them. They seem nice enough.
All right.
And if they're not, I mean, if they were a bother, then obviously we would, you know, but, they're not, so.
At a safe speed, what would you estimate the total travel time to be?
Perhaps 3 days?
I think that's great.
Can we mention that, like, maybe if they see somebody who looks like our companions, we like pause for a break so they can get on board so they're not stranded.
On your travels up to the Oasis and on our way to the Teeth, have you seen anyone else wandering the desert? I describe what they look like, the few people we left behind. I think it was, what, 4 people? In our total travel group, if you've seen them so far, and if not, maybe let us know if you happen to come across anyone like that. We're missing some friends.
I have not seen them, but I could send my children to find them.
Aren't it all just like, it really helps to have friends in high places?
That would be... wonderful. We're really concerned whether or not they've made it out of the storms and other dangers that linger in this desert, and we'd like to at least let them know that we are well on our way. If you could send your children out to seek them out, that would be incredible. And we'll obviously do whatever we could to help you in return.
Will your companions also respect my children?
If they for an instant do not, they will have to answer to me.
Or just, you know, leave their asses behind.
You know, what's your children's main form of communication is what I'm wondering.
They are born of my flesh and speak a little more easily than I do.
With my warlock familiar abilities, I think it's just on the same, I can, like, there's no distance, it's like the same plane of existence, right?
Yes,
I think it is.
Yes.
Bye, baby.
I think we need to have a messenger
just to go with the babies. Is that what you mean?
My baby has to go with the mountains, baby. Actually, this is a great Artadel's not thinking this, Brittany, it's a collateral. So I'm going to look up, and I'm going to have, like, an emotional moment, and I'm going to look up at the crystalline creature that we were communicating with, and kind of drop the translator situation and speak in primordial and be like, this is, like, my most cherished soul that means so much to me. This is my little shadow companion that is part of my soul, which... to what I understand is who you are also sending to gather our friends. And I'm not confident that our friends will be able to communicate. And so that no harm befalls your babies, I'm going to send my baby with your babies so that they may communicate. And
there'll be a caravan of babies.
Caravan of babies. This is my diplomatic gift to the situation since you're helping me out. You're taking a risk with your babies. I'm going to follow suit and take a risk with my baby. Artadel's trying really hard not to cry because this is the last thing that she wants to do, but it's like very important. So she's looking at, and she's like vibing this energy with Alistair Fitzpatrick. So like, obviously he's scared too. And we're both like having this like scared moment, but duty calls.
They will recognize her companion as one of us and know what it means. And
to not be attached to my neck.
Yeah. And the, you know, the elemental begins to pluck again those musical notes as they speak to you. This seems amenable to me. It is difficult to watch one's children leave, but they can protect each other. We must have faith in them.
And I was just like...
It is so weird because it's like music note voice, so it's...
Like, I feel like I would imagine it like glass.
Yeah.
Like, you know when you play glasses, like the wine glasses? Yeah, the edges glasses? Of glasses.
It's a lot like that.
That is an incredible...
It's emotional, but still comforting. Mm.
Yeah. Haunting.
Haunting.
Haunting. Ethereal. Beautiful.
Hey friends, I'm loving this bizarre bazaar, and I think us maidens might just retire here one day. Kara could dig it. While we're contemplating what magic items we would like to purchase for our characters, I highly suggest you go check out that shop with all the plucky little kobolds selling books. You guessed it, Kobold Press. Those kobolds are at it again with the brand new adventure hot off the press called Empire of Ghouls, an Underdark campaign for levels 1 through 13. It includes a gazetteer detailing the Ghoul Imperium in the depths of the underworld, complete with map and appendices loaded with new cults, creatures, magic items, and NPCs. The Matching Underworld Player's Guide includes new playable races from Darrow to Dark Trollkin to Drow and Mushroom Folk, plus new spells, subclasses, and backgrounds. Additionally, the Underworld Layers book is its own standalone Underdark adventure for levels 3 through 14. The whole package is available now from KoboldPress.com and on Roll20 and Fantasy Grounds for online play. Read more about this fantastic new bundle at KoboldPress.com and tell them DSPN sent you. Now, before we get back to the action, make sure you've left a rating review on whatever podcatcher you use to listen to our adventures. We really love reading your reviews, and thank you all for your enduring support. And once we hit 1 million downloads, you better believe that we're going to have a streaming party to celebrate. So follow us on Twitter at Venture Maidens to keep up with our weekly streaming schedule. Alright, have you finished counting your gold yet? It's time to get back to it.
So yeah, I have a moment with Alistair Fitzpatrick, and he kind of like put him down, and he like walks up to the crystalline creature kind of expectantly, like, okay, like, where do I go? Hello.
If you all would exit my heart, they shall meet you on the outside.
So we just...
I shall carry you to your journey, and my children shall do their work. Within 3 days, you shall reach your destination, and I should be able to find your friends.
Thank you so much.
We should just, like, stay, like, here.
We have to leave its heart.
Well, I mean, like, not in the heart, but, like, you know, camp out on its back.
Oh. Why? There's inns and taverns and stuff in the city.
I mean, I don't...
It's really into not killing the people, I guess, on the disc. It seems to like them for some reason. All right,
I guess. Arnadel's like, I don't want to climb that fucking chain again, but okay. Sure.
Not even for a drink from Prudence. Come on.
I would do anything. I do love Prudence, but also, like, that is a 2-mile chain hike.
Man, a real bed, though, I think might be worth it.
I think at this point I'm like in denial about what a real bed is like because it's so inconsistent. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This just doesn't matter.
It's all the same.
But yeah, I do want another like dope ass sparkle drink from Prudence. All right. All right. So I'm going to have a clutch moment, and I'm going to tell Alistair Fitzpatrick, I'm like, look, every night we're going to check in with each other at this time. I'm going to call you.
You call me on your cell phone.
I have like a mental... We're going to sit and chat.
I swear to God, Alistair.
We have to talk to each other. I need to know what's going on. So this time, in 24 hours, like, we're going to...
Tell me all the friends you're hanging out with, what you're doing.
I'll make sure that I'm in a place where we can have our little vibey thing. And, you know, because that, you know, I go into a trance whenever that happens.
And he looks up at you and he nods seriously, his eyes, like, growing wide as he kind of looks, like, nervously at this, like, crystal chamber.
I give him a lot of kisses. I'm like, you're going to be fine. You're going to have a blast. I'm going to be a wreck. Don't you worry about me. You are going to have fun. And I can't wait to tell me about it tomorrow. I can't wait to hear about it tomorrow.
For extra love and support, I'm going to give him little scratchies around his chin and ears and just be like, thank you so much. You're helping your mommy and her friends so much. You're such a brave little boy.
Yeah. He like turns and looks over at Kara because it took a minute for them to bond. Yo, you guys had some bonding time. You guys have bonded.
I guess so.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you guys have had a moment or two in previous times past.
He's definitely grown on her.
Kara's just like, safe travels.
I'm like, he farts she can always summon another one.
Here's a condom.
Shush! You know nothing! He farts on you with his glitter farts. He, like, poofs on you. Mostly because he knows that that's your style of humor. Well, he thinks it is. Fart jokes. Based off of what Arnadel thinks. Fart jokes. And then he goes up to and nuzzles Farrah as well. He hasn't had a lot of bonding time with Farrah either, but is like,
hi. Listen, kid, I rode you on your too. Back, and it was really great for your first time. So this first time is going to be really great, too. You're going to have fun. Okay, get out. I don't. You're crying.
Yeah, he nudges and everything, and I'm like, okay, like, fucking, come on, baby, go. They're waiting.
All right. So do you make it, you head out of this heart, apparently, and out of the tunnel and back out into the light of day?
Yes.
And as you do so, you know, you step out of this sort of hidden crevice, and it takes you a moment to adjust to the light of the sun. And then you start to feel that the rock beneath your feet rumbles and shifts, like more tectonic movement, and big pieces of this elemental start to crack and pop, and you see these like magma seams appear as like these big chunks actually melt away from the rock and sort of like drift off, just hovering right above it. And these molten chunks begin to form into like vaguely shapes of legs and arms as these earth elementals, as like you would normally see them, start to just like be born from this like elemental mass, and a bunch of them like come and cluster up towards you all, and one of them you see like its face is sort of like, it's got like a cool like mohawk of geode, as it looks out and kind of extends its hands out gently towards Alistar.
Send them off into the wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the elemental kind of, yeah, puts him up and, like, puts it on his head. And you see Alistar, like, just, like, grips on to, like, one of these little things. And the earth elemental just glides down over the surface of this this gigantic creature that birthed it. And you see effortlessly kind of slides down the rock and floats above the sand and just, like, speeds off. Again, just like hovering above the surface, barely trailing a line into the sand as a bunch of these creatures just head off in every compass direction to scour the desert. And one of these things like kind of waits and doesn't head off with the others. And it like extends its hands towards you all and looks up. Ride.
Yes. Thank oh my God. Yes. Oh, thank God. What a lovely... I love earth elementals, you guys.
This is such a wonderful experience. I'm just going to give a little, like, pat and stroke to the earth that we're standing on. Thank you. That's all. Thank you. You're wonderful.
Yeah, and it sort of just holds up its two, like, giant arms towards you all.
Farrah's already on that. She's, like, looking at that chain. She's like, never again. This is...
But, yeah. I mean, I was willing to camp on this thing's back, because I...
To not deal with it.
Yeah. 3 days, no problem.
Yeah, and it'll, like, you know, you can just grab onto it, and once you all are secured, it just, again, like the others, just glides effortlessly down and sets you, like, gently at the edge of the disc, and it sort of nods and, like, cracks its, like, rocky body and then dives off the edge of the disc and begins to burrow its way through the sand to join the others.
Kara is fangirling so hard, like, that! Oh my god! And she turns to Arnadel and Saya, like, you all have to teach me how to talk to rocks.
To talk to rocks.
Arnadel starts nerding out immediately. She's like, oh, you already have the basics. Like, you can, you're feeling your, what do you call it, stone sense? Stone, yeah. Some
primordial is more of a feeling.
Yeah, you feel it. Like, you already know. I think you can kind of pick up on the vibe. You know, like, it'll come super easy for you.
I'll work with you. Yeah, I'm sure we both will. We're all nerding out together. I think we all have our own invested interests, yeah. And what an amazing experience that just was.
Saya's, like, spoken accent is way better than mine. I'm very good at, like, understanding, but my speaking is, I just don't have the tonality for it. So, you know, the two of our powers combined. And you know, that's your kingdom.
My daddy knew how to talk to elementals. I talked just like him. Anyway, so you have all been deposited. Yes, I work daddy into a conversation.
You always do.
So you all have been deposited at the edge of this disc here. And this whole experience probably took about, you know, all the climbing and everything, maybe about 2 hours or so. And when you had been launched out of the oasis, it was like noon. So we're getting into like 3, 4 p.m. The sun is finally starting to descend in the sky. So some of that oppressive heat has worn off. But immediately you feel better standing on the edge of this disc here.
Air conditioning.
So you, yeah, you do certainly have, the bazaar is in full force still. So if there's anything you wanted to do, you definitely have a few hours before, if it closes down, it would close down. So what's the plan from here? The Earth Elemental guessed 3 days, and you guess, you know, you're going to be checking in with Alistar, so if they find your companions, you'll know.
Well, I need a bath, because I'm schwitzen.
Let's go back to Prudence, get ourselves a room.
So that was just a tavern, unfortunately, so there are no rooms at Sam's Club.
No.
We gotta find an inn.
I mean, sure, we can't just sleep behind the counter.
I know.
Prudence.
Where does Prudence sleep?
Beholders don't sleep.
I mean, neither do I.
Zap.
I guess let's go find the local bed and bazaar.
Ooh, can we look for like a really dope ass, like, can we treat ourselves a little bit?
You know what? Why don't you all tell me? You all tell me what is the inn that you find here? Because I think there are a variety. Because this whole bazaar is geared for interdimensional travelers. So that means people from all kinds of different worlds, planes, meet here to sell and trade their wares. So what kind of place do you find amidst all of this thing that's set up for, like, business class travelers?
One for, you know? Snow creatures, maybe?
Ooh, we find a bed and bazaar that, it's called the Gith Yankee Doodle, and it is a...
Oh my god, Gith- you monster.
It's a Gith Yankee ship that is parched on the, towards the edge of this disc, and it has been sectored into different rooms.
Oh my god.
Yes. I feel like we asked Kara, we're like, you pick the place, you're a princess, you've got great taste. And then we're like, oh, okay.
Oh, no.
theme in great.
I mean, I know we've been through a lot, but Saya's still pretty hype from that experience earlier, and knowing what an eclectic group of people are here, she's just eager to keep exploring and talk to people. So once we've settled on an inn to stay, I want to venture out and, like, find a social scene. I mean, like, I don't know, maybe a cafe, yeah, or a fucking club and go talk to people.
I mean, I think the Gith Yankee Doodle is the only place that has rooms open. Everywhere else is booked. So I guess that's, let's, okay. But, you know, it doesn't have to be trash, even though that's its name. So, Nassim, why
is it?
Why don't you tell me one interesting feature this inn has? Give me... What does the Gith Yankee Doodle have? And I'm coming for all of you, so start thinking.
Oh, no.
The Gith Yankee Doodle...
Not you, Sage, you've done enough.
It has a game room where people are playing... role-playing tabletop games.
Whoa!
Whoa!
So meta!
In a library of stories fiction and games, and there's like maybe 15 tables here, and loud
rumble. Is this a nerd? This is a nerd inn. I love this.
They're all pretty young here.
It's a hostel. Right. It's a youth hostel.
Katie, why don't you tell me one feature? Like, think of Yankee Doodle.
Like, every themed location, there's a gift shop.
Oh, yes.
Where you can buy all sorts of memorabilia, and of course, the collector's cup.
Which,
if you have that, you can buy it for an expensive one-time fee and continue to get refills, obviously.
And get free Kara, but what is the drink? Yeah.
Kara buys a... Over the top tricorn captain's hats.
They do sell those in the gift shop. The tricorner hats, and then the novelty glasses that you can buy and refill are actually shaped like little wooden boats. So they're like sort of like
sounds
gravy saucers
cumbersome.
That you can fill. Yeah,
gravy. It's literally a gravy boat.
It's a gravy boat that you know, so you can get refills in the gravy boat.
Fill that refill before you even get to your table.
Yep. So that's that. And then, Brittany, please give me another.
I'm actually
feature.
Speaking from experience. I have drunk from a gravy boat, and I'm telling you, it's not easy. However way you go about it, very
it's
easy
a very
to
messy
spill.
Place.
Get a straw. Yeah.
Like shallow bowls. Why the fuck do they make shallow bowls? Like, it's just the dumbest thing on the planet. Anyway, yeah, sailor gravy boats, unless there's a handle. Arnadil notices on her way to, she just gets her little, like, magical swipey card. You know, we all, I'm assuming, got private rooms, because who the fuck wants to share the dorm with everybody else? We're all fucking tired. So she gets a private room with a private bathroom. Mm-hmm. Very important.
Yes.
And
yes.
On her way up, says, all right, I'll rendezvous with you guys later. She notices two things. She notices that there's a smoking section, and it's so full of smoke that and there's like a glass window. Basically, think of the smoking section in an airport that's never ventilated.
Oh, yeah. That's, oh
my
God. It's
never ventilated. You can't see clearly through the glass, and it reeks about like 10 feet perimeter on your way past it. So she notices that. She's like, huh, all right, that's interesting. And then continues and then sees on the other side a hot tub area that has hot tubs that are slightly too small. You know, it's more of like a three-person thing.
So intimate for a hostel.
Really? Yeah, but there's like three rows of five. So there's like 15 fucking hot tubs, and they all are slightly too small, you know, like awkwardly. So like if you sat in it by yourself, it'd be fine. Yeah. And not smoke, but that reeks of really stale chlorine. Which I found out that chlorine smell only smells when urine, skin cells, hair, and other body things have chemically reacted to
I'm
it.
I'm never going into a hotel pool again. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All the things. I just watched a video on it recently. So Arnadil sees both of those things on either side.
And I'm sure she tells us about how that smells creepy. And we're like, mm-mm.
Oh, no. She knows all sorts of shit that it bores people to hear these details, so she generally chooses not to share it unless you ask or if it's brought up. So, yeah, she just takes note, like, not getting into that shit, and then carries on to her room.
So, what a picture. What a picture of the Gith Yankee Doodle Inn. So you find this place. It is the only place on the disc that has rooms open. So when you know, walk inside, it's just this totally garish, like, this is a pirate-themed hotel, like, as you walk inside. And behind, like, this desk of, like, barrels that have been, like, laid together with plywood over the top, a Githyanki. So, you know, one of these like yellow skin, kind of gangly, extra planar beings, like tips their tricorner hat to you and says, "Well, howdy do, welcome to the Githyanki Doodle Inn. My name is First Mate Wesley Bones. It is a pleasure to have you here."
Oh my god, Wesley, I will write you a great review if you stop talking like that.
Oh, they're always watching. So, hi, welcome. Would you y'all like to come aboard our...
Absolutely. Cara's already got stopped in the gift shop, got the hat, has the gravy boat, and is like, I'm so ready. Are the bathtub shaped like boats?
Yep. Genuine lobster pots. I mean boats.
Cara looks at you all with like utter childish glee in her eyes.
Would you also like to purchase, if you upgrade, to include a breakfast in your tabs, we'll also go ahead and throw in a free dinner at our Jolly Roger Saloon.
Cara's
sounds like
that.
A good time.
Great. Well, I'll go ahead and just add that onto your total. So is that going to be four rooms today? I mean cabins.
Yep.
Great. All right. What form of currency would you like to pay in, other than the old doubloon? Haha.
We have much gold.
I mean, what do we owe? What's the total?
If you're paying in material plain gold, boop, 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 he like types in a couple things on like a box. It doesn't have a screen or anything, but it has some keys. How many days will you be staying?
Two nights, 3 days.
Okay, two nights, 3 days. Okay. All right.
Arnadel's trying to help him out. Like,
yeah.
You don't want to do this any more than we do.
75 gold pieces each.
Oh, God. Actually, that's not bad. But, all right, here you go.
Yeah, for 3 days? Yeah.
Two nights?
Yeah.
Not bad. 35 a night? That's actually really cheap.
Arg. Thanks for the gold. We won't make you walk the plank. Haha.
Oh, do we, do you guys have, like, serve breakfast? Do we need to pay, like, extra for, like...
You just bought the upgraded breakfast passes.
Oh, sorry.
So
I was
back down
preoccupied with...
To the lobby for a spectacular feast.
Oh my god, he's gonna give us a lanyard for that breakfast pass. I can feel it.
I think they gave us, like, the little plastic tokens, right?
You have collectible pins?
Gift shop. Surely do. And he like sighs and like opens up a drawer down below and brings out like one of those little cardboard things that has like six different pins stuck on it.
It's all like fucked up around the edges.
Yeah, they're all like weird, nasty enamel pins of like pirates and like skull and crossbones and that kind of shit. And he slides them over.
I'll get the skull and crossbones.
Okay. I get the one.
That'll be one gold piece.
Ugh. One whole gold piece? Oh my god. Never mind.
It's the best booty in the cosmos.
Is there a pin that says that? Because I'll take that one.
No. Fuck. I made that up.
Dude.
Just give me whatever you have the most of.
You should make that pin.
Best booty. Wear it everywhere.
The best booty in the cosmos.
Okay.
He's not, like...
He looks at you flat-eyed, like...
All right, you're dead. You are okay. So beyond.
Yeah, this guy just seems totally unmotivated to do his job. So instead of paying for the pin, I'm just going to give him the gold piece and be like, you know, hang in there. Things get better. There's other places in this disc. And you're doing your best. And it may be a little, I don't know...
I'm gonna just take the card keys, like, while Saya's talking to him and, like, disperse them and be like, cool.
A little spice or smile might give you a few more tips.
Oh, well, I surely would like to smile for you more. I'm sorry, that's on me. And he gives you this horrible, like, toothy, nasty smile from across the way. Here are your keys! And he slides him down.
Ferris is like a little prayer to the sisters under her breath. They're like, please change this man's fate. Like,
Oh, honey, man. God, please.
We all pay our dues.
Yeah, and he hands over the room keys, and you can absolutely head on up to your rooms. He booked you all in the same hallway, not next to each other, but close enough. So you walk up these, like, creaky wooden steps to the second level here, and you see that there are a bunch of, like, round, you know, portholes that look out over the disc, so you can see the life of the bazaar here. And by the time you all, like, get into these rooms, they're okay. They're a little bit small. They definitely imitate, like, ship's cabins, so, you know, not a ton of space here. But you get down and you get settled, and by that point you can see that there are just so many lights outside. As the sun sets, like, these neon illusions just spin and circle and fill the air outside, and you can hear music coming from all different corners of the bazaar. And it is definitely true that this city here, it does not sleep. Everyone is wide awake, making deals, having fun. So, you're settled here for now, but you certainly have some festivities awaiting you this evening. And that's where we're gonna end for today, before we get too farther! Oh my gosh!
Next episode, a night on the town!
A night on the town, and shopping! Wow. I'm so happy I'm leaving you at the Githyanki Doodle.
This is my greatest accomplishment. It is just all downhill for me.
You mean your greatest crime. I think this is your greatest intellectual property crime.
I'm gonna kidnap that guy who works there and give him a better life.
I think he just wants a night off to, like, do laundry and maybe play video games.
He just wants to fucking chill.
He's trying to get through college.
We've all worked fucking those kind of jobs, and sometimes you don't want to do shit. Sometimes you just want to go home and not do shit. And I think that's where he might be at.
Oh, poor Wesley. Poor Wesley Bones. Wesley Bones. Thank you all so much for tuning in to this episode of The Venture Maidens. I had a lot of fun. We're going to be spending another episode in this magical, magical town. So looking forward to that. Well, guys, I have been your dungeon master, Celeste Gonowich.
I have been your moon elf warlock. There we go. Arnadella Thill, played by Brittany Quintero.
Hi, I'm Katie. I played Farah, the tiefling sorceress.
I'm Nassim, and I was your human monk, Sayanur.
Oh man, you know what? We just fought a purple worm, went back and forth through time. We deserve.
You deserve.
Some nonsense.
I know. I'm here for it. Oh, I keep feeding you.
I love it. It's so good.
Here's the spoonfuls of bullshit. the bazaar. It's weird here.
And I'm your bullshit barbarian carpenter. Played by Sage.
I'm gonna wake up so mad that you named it Githyanki Doodle. I can't stand it. Thank you all for being here. This has been an awesome episode. We love you all. If you enjoyed the show, if you're new to Venture Maidens, welcome. What an episode. Please, 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 if you want to support us, the best way to learn about everything we're doing, everything we're involved in, is to follow us on social media at Venture Maidens across the board on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can always check out our Patreon, which is an amazing way to support us. Right now, we are all gearing up to publish our first ever Venture Zine, which is going to be so cool. For $10 and up patrons, we're actually going to be mailing out a tiny little magazine that's so full of cool stuff. So thank you all so much for being here. And until next time,
Venture away,
everybody. Okay.
Hey everybody, Katie here. Thanks as always for listening. If you enjoy our show, there are so many ways that you guys can support us. You can leave us a glowing review, watch our YouTube videos, or if you've got a buck to spare, you can even become a Patreon donor and get yourself some magic items. Or listen to our Descent into Avernus campaign, or you can get a copy of our soon-to-be-released Venture zine. But until next time, we hope that you venturers are staying happy and healthy. Venture away, y'all.